Let's open our Bibles this evening as we begin to Mark 11. I want to look at this, and then you can also get 2 Timothy chapter 1. You can get that scripture also, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. But we're going to go to Mark 11 first. And we're going to read this, actually probably verses 22 and 23 together, 24. Hallelujah. How many know everything there is to know about faith? I figured so. I'm learning. And sometimes the more, you know, it's like a child growing up. The more you grow in something, the less you see you know. You do. You start growing up and you go, oh, I thought I knew. And then you realize I didn't know. So now it's back to what? Square one again. And you start growing in the things of God and you start realizing the more you know, you start seeing, gee, I thought I knew, but gee, I need to learn some more here. So I'm expecting to learn some more. How about you? And you know the story here. This is the story where Jesus cursed the fig tree. And on the morrow, when they were come to Bethany, it said he was hungry and he cursed the fig tree because he said it didn't have fruit. And of course, on the next day, Peter calling him into remembrance, saying, Master, look, the tree you cursed is withered up from the roots. And Jesus, you know, this is a wonderful thing. Faith comes by what? Knowing the will of God. So if we see something in red, if Jesus was speaking, we know it was the will of God because he only said those things that he heard the Father say, or he only did those things he saw the Father do. So if he saw it from the Father, he said, I do nothing of myself. So we know it was the will of God if he spoke something here. So it would have been a perfect time if he was the only one that could have cursed that tree, then he would have said so. But he didn't. He said, you can have. He said, have the faith or have faith in God. And of course, some of the translations say have the faith of God, or my margin does. And then it goes on to say, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt. That's faith. You're not going to doubt in your heart, but believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Or saith, as it says in the King James. In verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Let me ask a question. I asked this the other day. When I see the word things, and when it says in verse 23, but he shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. It says, doubt not in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith. Let me ask a question. Is healing a thing? Would prosperity be a thing? Something that's promised, something we know that it's the will of God, not just things, you know, like, stuff is stuff. Well, yeah, stuff is stuff. But things we're talking about here are things within the context of it being the will of God. is healing the will of God. Well, that thing, if I doubt not my heart, but believe that the healing that I say shall come to pass, I'll have it. See? And we know that's supported in other scripture. But if you look at, you can write this down, but Matthew 21 and 20, it says, when the disciples saw it, they marveled. This is the other a gospel account of this. How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith, see, or if ye have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. I like that. He said, if you have faith, you can do the same thing. See, he wasn't talking about just me now. He's talking about them. But also, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Hallelujah. So this faith that we have, we're to have what? That's why I like verse 22, have faith in God. Now, this isn't having faith in a principle or having faith in the Bible, although we have faith in the Bible and we have faith in the principles of God, but we're to have faith in God. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know, I like this what he says, for I know whom I believed, I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul is not saying, I know what I believed, what I have believed. He's saying, I know whom I have believed. And he goes on to say, I am persuaded and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Turn over to Hebrews 11 and let's look at verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. And we looked at this on Sunday. It says, now faith is the substance again of things hoped for. Well, would healing be something we hope for? Yes. Would prosperity or deliverance or salvation be something that we hoped for? Yes. So faith is the substance or the ground or the support of something that I'm looking for, something that I'm hoping for. I'm expecting it to come to pass. And the Berkeley translation we were sharing Sunday, it says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for, a conviction of unseen realities. The authentic translation says, now faith forms a solid ground for our expectations. So what gives me the assurance that I can see this, or not see it, but something that I'm expecting to come to pass, what gives me this confidence and assurance? It's knowing and being convinced, it's faith. It's faith is this substance or this reality or this assurance that supports my expectation. And so I know every one of us here, when faith comes, it's substantive. It's like you something happened in here. I know it. Think about just your salvation. If somebody said to you, are you saved? You go, yeah, I'm saved. Well, how do you know? I know. I know. Why? I know down here I'm saved. And I'm expecting that when the Lord returns, I'm going to be caught up to meet him in the air. Or if I pass and my body's still here and I'm in heaven, then my body's going to be reunited with my body. And we're all going to be caught up together in the air. I'm convinced of that. I'm not wondering, right? If somebody said to you, you say, you're not wondering about it. It's like your name. If I said to you, what's your name? You're not, what? Or you say, where do you live? I'm not sure. See, you're not wondering about that. You know. You're convinced. Well, let me ask this question. Are you convinced about other things? See, like that. When something happens or some situation hits your life, we've all had that happen where the wind gets knocked out. You had to kind of collect yourself and you're like, whew, okay. Now, are you convinced that you have the answer to that from God's word? Or you're like, I'm not sure. That's not the time to figure that out. That is not the time to know. You need to know that beforehand. You need to know. And we all are growing. I'm going to say it this way. We're all growing in that knowing. We all are. And I'd like to think, and I'd like to believe in my heart, that when confronted, I'm convinced. I'm absolutely convinced that I'm healed of this. Or I'm convinced, just like when you hear Brother Hagin talk, he was convinced he had prosperity. Even though he walked around, he tell you, he walked around with holes in his shoes. He walked around with cheap shoes and sometimes had his car repossessed and was hitchhiking or walking from meeting to meeting preaching prosperity. How convinced are you? See? Would you just quit and give up? See, he was faithful to God to preach the gospel, and he said, I can't go any lower. I'm going up. See, and like he said, I've been going up ever since. But we have to be, this faith from God's word causes this assurance and this confidence or this ground or foundation or substructure on which our expectation can rest upon. If I go and I sit in this chair, I have confidence that this chair is going to be underneath, going to hold me up, right? So when I go to sit, I'm not wondering whether it's going to hold me up or not. I have absolute assurance. I'm expecting, because I have confidence in this, the structure of this, I have confidence and expect that when I sit, I'm not hitting the floor. Right? It's no different in spiritual things. When I go to step out on something or I'm confronted, do I have confidence that it's there to support my expectation? That's a good question. And faith is that substructure. Faith is that confidence. And it's not something you work up in your head. I've told you the story. I mean, we've all had these little experiences where what I say, confidence comes. It's supernatural. When all of the circumstances are contrary. How does that come? How does that confidence come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I remember in my early walk, I remember having some, you know, symptoms in my body. I stayed home from work. I was working here. And, you know, the typical kind of stuff. You know, your chest is full of just stuff, and you got an excessive temperature. I wasn't feeling good. It was way over 100. And so I just, at that time, I had a cassette tape of Brother Hagin. I don't remember which one it was. All I remember is I played it 24 hours a day constantly. And I'd hear click, flip the tape, play it, click, flip the tape, click. And I did that constantly. I just kept playing it, 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 playing it. Faith came. Not once, not twice, hundreds of times. I just kept playing it, playing it, playing it. And then all of a sudden, what happened was, out of my spirit, I felt this like surge, and it came up out of my spirit, and I spoke in tongues. It just, it came out. I'm laying in my bed, and tongues roll. It just, whoo, out. It was this faith rose up. Confidence rose up, and it rose up like a mighty, just up out of my spirit in tongues. I wasn't trying. It just came up and out, and I said, I've got it. I got it. And I knew it. And I felt no better. I still felt bad. I got up out of bed, showered, and dragged myself into work here. Why? Because I had it, and I knew it. I knew it. I could only sit in my chair here for about 15 minutes. I was so weak because I'd been on my back for 2 or 3 days. Hadn't eaten. But I got in here. I said, I got it. That kind of confidence comes. It's not working something up. It's not saying, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. Say, I believe I got this, 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 I believe I got this. No, it was listening to the Word of God. It was listening to anointed teaching over and over and over and over and over, and faith came. Oh, it's tangible. It's real. It's substantive. So much so that you can go, I got this. I'm expecting. I got this. Even when all of the circumstances and things are contrary. Oh, it's real. It's real. So, that kind of solid ground is the proof. This thing that I can rest upon. Faith is the solid ground for my healing. Faith is the solid ground for my prosperity. It's the proof of my prosperity when I don't have it and I don't see it. My faith forms, that's what the scripture says, faith is the substance or the ground of things hoped for, the evidence. What's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it yet. But my faith is the evidence that it is. Isn't that the truth? Even when I don't see it, I got it. I'm talking about it. I have it. That's what the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is about. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet. What did it say? He moved with fear and prepared an ark. His faith in God moved him to do something. Amen. That's what it does for us. Our faith moves us to do what? To act. But our faith is in something that God said to you to do, or something you read here. That produces faith. Look at verse 11 in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Verse 11. It says, through faith, this is the King James, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. The Amplified says, because of faith, also Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it, because she considered God, who had given her the promise to be reliable and trustworthy and true to his word. So in other words, she did what? She considered him reliable, trustworthy, and true to his word. That's what faith rests upon. We count God faithful to his word. And that gives us faith. And that's why having faith in him, I'm not just having faith in principles or faith in the Bible. I have faith in him who's trustworthy. He's reliable. He will bring it to pass. He's not a man that he will lie. So I like this, because this puts it, when you read this account of Sarah, when you read the story, you go over to Genesis and you read it, the Lord began to share with Abram that your wife is going to have a baby in a year from now. And it said what? She laughed inside herself and said, how is this going to be so? I'm well past age. And then the Lord said, you're laughing. She said, no, I'm not. Now, when you read the story, she's in the book talking about faith. That wasn't faith, was it? Not by a that certainly wasn't faith. So somewhere along the line, she got it corrected, didn't she? Somewhere along the line, she got in faith, because she's in faith here in this story. I'm sorry, not in the story, but in this chapter in Hebrews. So there's hope for us. There's hope for us. When we miss it, we just get on our knees and say, God, forgive me. You are faithful, and you will bring this to pass. I don't care what it looks like. Forgive me. Get it worked out, right? But here's the thing that's exciting to me, because would you not consider that a miracle? Here's somebody who's past age, and in some of the translations it says she was past menopause and all of that. So you see in some of the translations she was past the age. Her body was not able to produce the egg. She wasn't physically capable to do that. And because of faith, she received the power to do that. It did what? It changed her body. It changed her body physically to conceive. That's a miracle. Well, how do we get miracles? By believing him. Believing him and judging him what? Faithful, that promised. You need a change in your body. You need a change in your finances. You need a change in something. We need to do what? Judge him faithful, who promised. That's what she did. And he did it. Did he not? That's what it says. I like some of the translations. Others, it says, the 20th century New Testament says, again, it was faith that enabled Sarah to conceive, though she was past the age for childbearing, because she felt sure that he who had given her the promise might be trusted. She judged him faithful. The Berkeley says, also by faith, Sarah personally received potency for conception, and that when past the normal age, because she regarded the promiser trustworthy. She judged him trustworthy, as the Amplified said. She considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable and trustworthy and true to his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over. I'm going to look at a few scriptures here. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to what? 1,000 generations. So your faithfulness as a parent can affect your children and your children's children and their children. You've heard the story of Brother Hagin. He shares, he said when his son was in the army, he was impressed one night to get down on his knees and pray, and he said that he stayed there until he had, as he put it, a note of victory. He had a release to stop praying. And he got word sometime after that his son, who was in the army, was somewhere overseas, and they were out kind of, you know, all the guys were out just joyriding and doing things, and he was on a motorcycle. And I think he said he was up in Italy somewhere, wherever he was, up in the mountains, and he was going around these mountain roads on a motorbike, and the bike's no guardrails, and his tire, he went off the road, and he said it just kind of kicked back in again. And he said that he found out the Lord said to him, he said, if you had not been faithful to me to go out and do what I told you to do, they would have brought your son back in a bag. So God is faithful to those who are faithful when they're obedient. We don't know, you know, the sacrifices that parents make and the faithfulness of our parents and our grandparents. We're living off of sometimes some of the things that when I think about some of the things, the stupid things that I did as a young person, doing some things, being in cars that I shouldn't have been, racing at high speeds that I shouldn't have been, and doing some things that I should have been dead, and I think about my parents and their faithfulness to God, and I say, well, God was faithful and merciful to me. because of their faithfulness to Him. And I believe that we're probably all living on some mercy because of the faithfulness of our parents. And if it wasn't our parents, it would have been our grandparents. Somewhere, somebody was faithful to God. Amen. Here's another scripture, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Turn over to Psalm 37 and verse 5. Psalm 37 and verse 5. And you know how we were when we were growing up. You get in the house and your parents go, well, how was your evening? Oh, everything was fine. And you're like, thank God I'm alive. Thank God I'm alive. And then maybe years later you divulged some of that, because you'd have gotten something beat up if you had shared it then. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit, right, thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I like that. Some of the other translation, when you commit, this says entrust. The God's Word translation says, entrust your ways to the Lord, trust Him, and He will act on your behalf. Boy, I like that. The New Living Translation says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. So when we commit something, that to me is like there's no plan B, is there? You know, I'm not an airplane pilot. I probably should have been. I like to go fast. But if you're an airplane pilot, at some point when you get enough speed, you've got to commit. Right? Otherwise, you've got to shut it down or you're running off the runway. So at some point, when you get enough speed, you got to pull it up and go. You're committed, right? You're committed. There's no turning back. Doesn't matter. You got to go. And so it's the same with us. Commit, that means I don't have plan B and C and D. If this doesn't work out, this says here, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. This says here, trust also in Him, and He'll do what? He might bring it to pass. Shall is pretty strong, isn't it? He shall. He shall. This says here, He shall bring it to pass. You need to meditate on that. Now, He didn't say He's going to bring it to pass in your time frame. And what you think, he just says here, he's going to, if I commit my way unto the Lord and trust in Him, He's going to bring it to pass. That means that if I've got some circumstance in my life that hits my life, I'm going to commit it to Him and trust Him. And this says here, He's going to bring it to pass. So I need to, when something hits me at that point, that's not the time to determine whether He's faithful. Just think about it for a moment. I'm thinking about David. When Saul said, here, put this armor on, he goes, I haven't proven that. And then what did he begin to do? He began to tell Saul, the same God that delivered me from the bear and the same God that delivered me from the lion, that same God will deliver me from this Philistine. That's talking about being committed. That's talking about being trusting in a God that delivered me. He had proven that. That wasn't the time. Now he's faced with this giant. Everybody's squeamish. Everybody's running and hiding. And he said, no, I'm going to do this. I'm committed. I'm trusting in the one that I'm trusting, not in something, but I'm trusting in him that I've walked through some circumstances in life. He delivered me here. He delivered me here, and he's going to do it here. So that means I'm committed. I'm committed to his faithfulness. I'm committed to him. And what does it say? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. He'll help you. Amen. Did he help David? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. So that's not the time. You can trust your life and everything with him. We can trust him. He's faithful. Let me read some more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know this, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is what? Faithful. He's faithful. He can be trusted. He can be relied upon. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. I like this. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He is faithful. Hallelujah. And then, of course, you're familiar with this. We were reading this on Sunday in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 and 23. I was excited about this Sunday because if you look at that word faith, in verse 22, it says in the King James, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. But I like that word faith. If you look it up, it really means hope. And the other translations, the New Living Translation, it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, meaning my profession of faith is my hope that I affirm. It's what I'm expecting. Does everybody understand that? That which I confess or profess is my expectation, my hope. That's my faith speaking, but it's my faith speaking in what I expect. Does everybody understand that? So this is saying here, let us hold fast to the profession of our hope without wavering. What gives me that assurance? Faith. But that faith is causing me to do what? To affirm something, to say something. That's what David did. David had so much trust in God, he started to affirm and to profess, this God that I serve, he delivered me here, he delivered me here, and he shall deliver. He hadn't done it yet. He shall deliver me from this Philistine. That was his hope, affirming it was his hope he was speaking of something what? He hadn't seen it yet. So this hope that we have is in, we're to do what? We're to profess this hope without wavering, for it says he is faithful. That's why we can. He's faithful that promised. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then, of course, we are familiar with this. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's faithful. Psalm 119:86, all thy commandments are faithful. Psalm 119:86. They persecute me wrongly, help thou me. But he says, David says, all thy commandments are faithful. Excuse me, God's Word translation says, all your commandments are reliable. The Good News translation says, all your commandments, or your commandments, are all trustworthy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One thing, as we kind of wrap up here, is another scripture, Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called what? Faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So we're to be like him. We're to be faithful. So when I think about Richard Trainum, faithful. Think about you all here, faithful. Faithful to God. So, how do we become faithful, or we could say more faithful? One thing to keep in mind, we reproduce after what? After the seed. So the seed, it says all of his commandments are what? No, well, we read that, yeah, that's true. But we just got done reading Psalm 119:86. It says all your commandments are faithful. The word is faithful. So we reproduce after its kind. So when I get the word in me, it causes me to be faithful. It changes my heart. It changes. What does the scripture say? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, I become like him the more I'm changed, the more I'm renewed. So I'm going to reproduce after this seed that gets planted in me. I become more faithful. I become like God. God is faithful. I become more like him. Isn't that true? Say amen. 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 Hallelujah. So we become patterned after him in that sense. Amen. So when you just look at the world, the further the world and society gets away from God, they become more unfaithful, right? The closer we get, we shine what? Brighter and brighter and brighter. We're to be what? Salt, a light set upon a hill. So we should be faithful, right? And we become more faithful by the seed that keeps putting in my spirit and renewing my mind. I become like him. Hallelujah. That means I can be trusted. That means I'm reliable. That means when they look at me, they say, that's a trustworthy man or woman. That's a trustworthy, reliable man or woman of God. They're like God. When they give their word, I can count on them. Right? That's what that means. Hallelujah. Just like Sarah said, by faith, she trusted him. Right? Well, that goes with us too. Hallelujah. Think about the scripture here now. Let me read this scripture here. 1 Corinthians 4:17. This is Paul writing. He said, "For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord." He sent a faithful servant to them, "who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Here's something, here's another scripture you can put down. 1 Peter 5:10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Sounds like through tests, you know, God's going to check up on your faithfulness based on the tests that you walk through. Faithful people are stable people. Unfaithful people are not stable. They're not stable. They're not settled. They're not settled. God is faithful to those that are faithful to him. Let me read this. This is something, I'll close with this. This is something that someone spoke to me. So this is not, I'm just sharing you something that the Lord spoke to me through someone when I was having a bad day. I was having a real bad day, a low day, a stinky day. And I was stinky. You know what I mean by that? That just means I didn't really care. And I had had a long day, and I don't know if you all remember, somebody spoke this, well, didn't they didn't speak it, they wrote it down and handed it to me. In 1997, June of 1997. So this was almost 20 years ago. It's 20 years this year. And so, Brother Hagin was coming here, and we were doing all-night prayer meetings. And I didn't get to pray. What I got to do was run sound all night. And I had worked all day here. And so I had very little time between break, and then I started playing music from 7:30 till 7 in the morning, 12 hours straight, no break. Nobody to come and spot me. And I had, at that point, I've done a couple of these, and I wanted to pray. I really did. And I said, you know what? I really don't care who plays music tonight. I did. I was being stinky. And I really was. I just had a bad attitude that night. And I just said, I really wanted to pray. I wanted to walk around and pray like everybody else. But I couldn't. And so what I said is, I said, okay, here's what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to put a CD on, and I'm going to hit play, and there ain't going to be nobody at the booth. I'm going to walk around and pray. And that's what I did. I started walking around the top of the sanctuary. And I just said, well, when it runs out, I'll head back. So I was just being ornery. And so as I'm walking, I won't tell you who this person is because you know exactly who it is, and walked by me and handed me something in my hand, and I just kept walking. So when I got back to the sound booth, I looked, and it was some money, but it was a slip of paper, and I read it. And this is when God reads your mail. Because he reads your mail, you know. He knows what you're thinking. When you're being stinky and whatever, he just, and that's the wonderful thing about the Lord. He knows where you're at, and he just very sweetly just shares with you some things, right? So this is what was written. Great is your faithfulness to me, your God, to your pastors, to the leadership and this portion of the body of Christ. I see your good works and your trusting heart. Continue to be faithful to me, your Lord, your Redeemer, your friend, and I will continue to be faithful to you. Well, I'll tell you, I did this. Well, okay, let me go back to the booth and sit down and shut up. That's exactly what I did. I said, okay, shut up. But it ministered to me because God knew exactly where I was and that he said, you've been faithful to me. I see what you're doing. And if you'll continue to be faithful to me, he just said, keep doing what you're doing. And if you keep being faithful to me, I'll bring it to pass. I'll be faithful to you. So even when we're walking through, God will watch how we handle tests. Are we going to be faithful in the hard times? Are we going to be faithful when nobody's watching? Are we going to carry out the things that God has spoken to us? Come what may. Because promotion will come through that faithfulness. If you're not faithful over another man's work, he will never, read my lips, he will never give you your own. Because you have not been faithful over a little. So what do I mean, faithful? I mean that means you can be depended on. That means you can be trusted. That means that other person doesn't even have to think whether or not. It's like a husband and wife. You don't even go, well, I wonder what my wife or husband's going to do. No, you don't even think about it. It don't even enter your mind because you trust them. That means you're committed to them. That means your whole confidence is in them. You don't question, do you? Well, if you do, you got some other issues. You got some other issues that need to be worked out. But I'm talking about in a good, healthy marriage relationship, I'm telling you, you don't think about or even come up and you're thinking, I wonder if I trust that other person. No, you don't. Because you're committed to them and to each other. That's what I'm talking about. You're faithful to each other. And that comes in that commitment to each other, right? That's how we should be with God. I'm committed to him. I'm committed to that which he promised me. And he's faithful to bring it to pass. So no matter what comes and what doesn't come, whether I see it or I don't see it, I'm committed to God. He's bringing it to pass. That's faithful. And in those tough times, whether it's personal or you've committed yourself to do something, whatever that is, God watches that. And I'm telling you, you see this here? 20 years. He watching. He don't just say, okay, I'll watch you for a few minutes. No, he don't. He watches for a long time. because sometimes the assignments require a level of faithfulness. Is that not true? Because God's a good master. He's a good father. He's not just going to turn over something that's going to demand a level of faithfulness that you crumple after 5 minutes. So this God that we serve, He can be depended upon. He's a man that He won't lie. Commit your ways, everything that you have, commit it to Him. He's faithful, that promised. I love Jesus. I love my Father God. And He's going to bring to pass everything regarding this ministry. And personally, and I believe He's doing the same in your life. I believe He's doing the same. If we trust Him. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Did you have something to say, Robert? Yeah? Mm-hmm. All righty, thank you. Okay, all righty, thank you very much. I'll let you know. This has nothing to do with the message. But it has something to do with you and about you. Amen. Praise God. Did you get something out of that? I hope a little something. Something to feed upon and meditate upon. Sometimes we need to, you know, sometimes we get so focused on our what we're walking through and going through that we forget that God's faithful. Hey, I've been there. I've been stinky sometimes, you know? You're walking through some things and you're just being ornery. And somebody's got to say, hey, remember, God's faithful. And you go, yeah, right, okay. And sometimes you need somebody to kind of just, you know, remind you, kind of encourage you, just kind of stir you up. Remember who you're serving. He's not forgetting you. He said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, but it looks like it. Yeah, and He can be trusted. He's reliable. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Father God, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for stirring our hearts and reminding us of Your goodness and Your mercies to us that are new every morning. Thank You, Father. We're so grateful for You, grateful for your salvation, grateful for the Holy Ghost who lives in us, grateful for Your word, grateful that You're coming to soon. And we thank You, Father, grateful that we have a great part in this plan of salvation. And we're so grateful, Father. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.